My daughter Julie knows that one of my favorite Easter treats is what? Peeps. You guys like peeps?
Yeah.
Oh man, just pure sugar rush is good, isn't it?
Yeah. I have one of those at Grandpa's house.
Do you have some of those at Grandpa's house? Yeah, well, you know what? The other day she called and said, "Hey, I found some cookies just for you." And you know what they are? Peeps Oreo cookies. Yeah, it's got pink peep in the middle of a golden Oreo cookie. Do you think they're any good? Do you? You think they're any good? Guess what? I had some, and they're delicious. You want to try one? We got a thumbs up? My grandson spit it out. He didn't like it. Come on, Kyle. No? You're good? Not that adventurous? So they're good? Are you going to go tell your friends about them? Tell your sister? Yeah, see, Julie, when she found them, she couldn't wait to tell me. Have you ever found anything that was so good or so amazing that you couldn't wait to tell your friends about it? Like what? That you're getting braces? You couldn't wait to tell your friends that? Cool. Anybody else? Nobody else? Anything that you liked that just was so amazing you couldn't wait to tell people? You know, in the Bible, there was something like that. There was a guy named Philip. He couldn't wait to tell his friends about this man that he had found. He found this man called Jesus, the one that the prophets wrote about. He says, "He is Jesus, son of Nazareth." And you know what his friend said when he told him? He said, "What? Nothing good comes from Nazareth." And Philip said, "Come and see." And you know what that means? When we find something as exciting as Jesus, what are we supposed to do with our friends? Tell them. Say, "Come and see this Jesus that I have met." We should be so excited that nothing else matters other than telling our friends to come and see this Jesus that we met. But too many times we don't tell people that, do we? We kind of keep it a secret. We don't want friends to know. And so we have to be like Philip and say, "Come and see the friend that I have found." Just like I had to share my cookies with you guys, we got to share Jesus with our friends, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for, again, another day. We thank you that as we begin this march toward Easter, that we are reminded of the amazing news that we have to share with other people. So I pray that just as we're as excited about something as simple as a cookie, that we are more excited about sharing Jesus with our friends and those that we come to know. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys are off with Miss Melissa, it looks like. And I didn't bring enough peep cookies for all of you, so unless you're a second grader under, you do without. I always like to hear reports from our mission team when they come back that things didn't go perfectly well, that the showers were cold, that breakfasts were maybe a little dry and not real good, that traffic was horrible, because otherwise it is just the trip that we could do on our own power and we're not doing anything special. But the only way they could make it through was because God was with them each and every step of the way. It's a great reminder of how the rest of the world lives compared to us. And so if Cassidy and Sarah and Kyra want to come up, we're going to have them share a little bit about their experience with you this morning. Also, during Sunday school hour, you are anybody who wants to is invited to go down to the CLC, and the rest of the team will be sharing as well what was going on with their mission trip experience.
Hi, I'm Kyra Carroll. I'm in seventh grade, and this is my first mission trip. And God really touched me when we went to Church Under the Bridge on Sunday. I was talking to a lot of the homeless people, and I asked them, "What's your favorite part about Church Under the Bridge?" And they all said the people, and I was like, "Why the people?" And they're like, "Because everybody treats everybody the same, because everybody's the same way. We all have a home, most of us, our parents, like, we've been abandoned by our family, and that's why we're on the streets. And I was like, wow, we take our family for granted sometimes, and like how much they love us. We're just like, okay, whatever, you love me, it's fine. And I was like, wow. And one lady was like, I just want to have a family. I just want to love on a family. I want to get off the streets. I want to get married. I want to have kids, and I want to love them. Like, my parents didn't. And I was like, wow, I never thought that somebody would think, I just want to love somebody the way I wasn't. Because she was like, I was loved when I was younger. My parents did everything for me. I loved them. And then as I got older, I made bad choices, and they abandoned me. I want to be there for when my children make bad decisions, that I can help them. And she said, I just want to get off the streets. She said, first off, they're awful. Nobody really loves you except for the people that you hang out with. And I was like, wow. And I was talking to a little girl, and she was like, my mom can't hear, so I can't really talk to my mom because I don't know sign language yet. And I was like, wow. And she's like, and my mom doesn't talk to me. And she's like, we only get canned soup. And she's like, it's never warm, it's always cold, and that's all we get. And she's like, we normally get one meal a day. And so me and my friends took her up to get a meal, and she got some soup. And we walked past pie, and I looked up at her face, and it lit up. And I was like, you want a piece of pie? And she's like, yeah. She's like, we never get sweets. She said, when somebody gets sweets, the whole family shares it. So we went back, and we set it down, and all her brothers and sisters came up, and everybody took a piece of pie. And I was like, wow. And all their faces lit up, and I was like, that's just amazing to see how much we take things for granted, because I would have never lit up when I saw a piece of pie like that.
Hi, I'm Cassidy, and I'm a 10th grader, and this is my 6th mission trip that I've been on, and I've been going on them since I was going into 6th grade. And each year I get something new out of it, but I really feel like this year I got the most out of it. On Wednesday night, I think, we went to Montrose Street Outreach, and they were having a church service for the homeless, and we didn't really have to do much there, but we got to hand out the different zip kits that we made and just talk to the people. And I got to talk to one man, and he was just telling me a story and how God affected him in his life and how he got to where he is now. And he was giving me advice along the way, and the biggest thing that stuck out to me that he said was that we all have to start somewhere, and even though we don't want to start where we are, we have to start there, and with God, we can work our way up to where we want to be. And just thinking about that, I just thought back to the verse, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I just really felt that as we all come back from Houston and go on to our own lives, we should really just surrender ourselves to God, and we can be where we want to be in life.
All right, thank you, Jeff. If you would, open your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. But as we get started, I have a secret this morning. All of us have a secret. Shh. And that secret is that we're Christians. We are Christians. That's something that at times we're probably a little bit ashamed of, and we don't want it to get out, because who knows what will happen. As long as we're in here together, our secret is safe. So the secret is that we are all Christians. Again, we don't often like to mention it in public unless we're asked or somebody says something about it. We don't like to talk about it at work. It's uncomfortable. Or with new people that we meet, we don't want to ruin any chances of having this new friendship. But we're okay with it as long as we're together. As long as it's you and I, we're gathered here on Sunday morning, being a Christian is okay. But I want you to trust me this morning. When I go out on the streets of Augusta, I won't out you, all right? Nobody else will know unless you want to tell them that you're a Christian. The other secret that I want to share with you this morning is this secret that gets tossed around quite a bit, and it is a secret about what makes a church grow. We like to think it's all the programs that we have, or it's about the Bible studies that we have, or we have a new pastor. But the secret, the key to church growth is not that secret, really, and that is that we need to live our life loudly. So what does it mean to live our life loudly? If you have your Bible open, please turn to verses 19 and 20 in chapter 4. They've been called before the religious leaders, and Peter says, Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now let's set this up for you, because I think the context in which it is spoken is extremely important to what we're talking about in this day and age. John and Peter have been out telling people about Jesus, that Jesus had been crucified for their sins, that he rose again on the third day. He told them about repentance and about the baptism in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. He told the crowds about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that would guide them and lead them and intercede for them, empower them to go out and do the same thing, to speak the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John are heading to the temple, as was their habit. They're going for prayers and for worship, and they meet a beggar at the gate, and the beggar asks for money. Peter says, "I don't have any money, but I can heal you in the name of Jesus." He helps the man up, and the crippled man begins to walk. And the crippled man doesn't just walk, he runs and he jumps and he begins to praise God, living his life loudly because what has Jesus has done. And because he's living his life loudly, people begin to take notice and they wonder what's going on. And so now Peter has another opportunity to share with others about Jesus. In chapter 4, the religious leaders get upset because Peter and John are proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection, and they're put in jail. Then they're brought to court, admonished and scolded and told to stop talking about this Jesus. And that's where we find Peter saying, "We cannot stop talking about what we have seen and what we've heard." And when I read this, then I got to go back and I got to think, wow, is this really Peter? I mean, is this Peter who stayed as far away from Jesus as he could after Jesus was arrested? Scripture says he followed from afar, from a distance, as Jesus was led away to the high priest's house. This is Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. Once in a courtyard by a servant girl said that, "Hey, Peter was with Jesus." The second time someone else saw him and identified him as a follower of Jesus. And then finally a third time, somebody says, "Well, you were with Jesus because you're a Galilean." And he says, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea who that guy is." This is the Peter that we're to believe is standing in front of the religious leaders and saying, "Phooey, we're not going to listen to you. We cannot help but talk about Jesus." This is Peter and John who could have been put back in jail and executed. The religious leaders treated this as blasphemy because they didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah. Leaders didn't want people leaving the Jewish faith and following this new way of life, this new faith of Jesus. But the threats didn't stop Peter and John. And so I have a warning for you this morning. If we are going to live our life loudly, we have to understand that living the Christian life can be dangerous. All we have to do is go back to Scripture. We can find the story of Peter and John. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the apostles are out performing many miraculous signs and wonders. And again, the leaders are upset and they have them put in jail. During the night, an angel of the Lord comes and says, "Go back out into the streets in the morning. Go back to the temple and continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to spread the good news." And then Scripture tells us that the religious leaders are furious. They're furious with Peter and John because they've told them not to do this, and then here they are back on the streets preaching Jesus. They want to put them to death, but instead they're convinced just to maybe flog them and whip them instead and then told to stop just for preaching the name of Jesus. A whip with bits of metal and bone designed by the Romans to just rip the flesh right off of people's backs and off their side. So Peter and John are put in prison and they're whipped. And then as a sign, the leaders use this as a sign to say, hey, this is what happens if you preach the name of Jesus. This is what will happen to you if you go against our wishes. But just 30 verses later, in verse 42, we find this. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the news that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. After being flogged and beaten, told not to talk about Jesus anymore, we find them out on the streets once again, talking about Jesus. In the book of Acts, Stephen is stoned to death for blasphemy, speaking against God. But despite the accusations and the possible death sentence, it didn't stop Stephen from talking. Chapter 12, Peter is arrested again and put in jail for speaking and teaching about Jesus, the Messiah. This time, the tension has to be a little bit higher because James was just recently put to death by the sword. But yet, an angel of the Lord helps him escape from jail, and Peter is back out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail because they spoke out against some shady businessmen who were using a demon-possessed girl for their financial benefit, and Paul commands the demon to come out and helps the girl. But now the leaders are furious, and so into jail they go. But in jail they are singing and praying to God, and the prisoners are listening. Even in jail, Paul and Silas are living life loudly, speaking out about this Jesus that they have come to know. Now, I don't know about if you've seen everything else that has taken place. If you're Paul and Silas, and you're sitting in jail with the chance of maybe being put to death, and the leaders come to you and say, hey, quit praising and singing, quit teaching people about Jesus, don't you think you would be just nice and quiet and polite and shut up? Never do it again. But no, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Just to get an idea of before all this took place, in John chapter 20, he describes the apostles after Jesus' death as being in the upper room. They're locked in. They're scared. They're afraid of the Jews. And now these very same people are out preaching the gospel regardless of the risks involved. Anybody ever told you to shut up about the gospel? Anybody ever told you to quit being such a goody-two-shoes or a Bible thumper? Anybody threatened to kill you or beat you up? Obviously, it didn't work because you're here today. Do you live your life loudly and say, I cannot stop speaking about Jesus? Or have you acquiesced to the pressures of our society today and keep quiet? The apostles couldn't be quiet because they witnessed the greatest event in the history of man. They witnessed Jesus' death and his conquering of that death by rising from the tomb. Just as he said he would, just as he promised them it would happen. Do you think that they would have put themselves in those positions for something that they knew to be a lie? Their actions speak to something that they actually witnessed and saw. Just like I asked the kids, what's the coolest thing or the most amazing thing you've ever seen? And how long did it take you before you couldn't wait to tell your friends? You couldn't wait to tell your family about this cool thing? Did you just keep talking about it until somebody said, shut up finally? I don't want to hear any more about your trip or your braces or whatever it might be. Just stop talking. Why are we not so eager to talk about the things of Jesus than we are other things that happen in our life? Do you think it's because we're not trained evangelists, we're not apostles, most of you aren't preachers? Is it because you feel like, well, we're just ordinary people? Well, if we look at Acts chapter 4, we'll see that's exactly what the religious leaders thought about the apostles. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that Peter and John were recognized as unschooled men. They weren't political leaders. They weren't community leaders. They weren't the mayor of the city. They weren't government leaders. They didn't have lots of money. They were just ordinary, unschooled men. But what is it that enabled them then to live life loudly without worrying about the risk of what would happen to them for sharing Jesus? How could they speak out so boldly about what they had seen? Well, I think if we look at the Bible, we can find three things that helped Peter and the others live life loudly. And the first one, as we see in Scripture, is he had been with Jesus. One of the things that people recognized was that these men had been with Jesus. Now, they had spent for the most better part of 3 years living their life with Jesus, learning, getting to know him, and so they're able to go and speak. You and I have the same opportunity to get to know Jesus. See, we don't just get the better part of 2 or 3 years. Because of our situation today, we get every day with Jesus. We have the opportunity to be with him every day of our life. We have this wonderful book called the Bible, so we can get to know Jesus. We can get to know what he said, the things that were important to him. We'll go from here, hopefully, to a Sunday school class or another small group later in the week where we can get together and talk about the things of Jesus and how they apply to our life. We have the opportunity to come to Sunday worship without fearing of our life, like our brothers and sisters around the world, to come together. But see, too often, even though we have an opportunity to know the most important man, although he's a God man, the most important man in history, we squander it. We come on Sunday mornings when it's convenient, no real commitment. We come and we're not prepared. We haven't prepared our hearts. We don't take advantage of the written word that we have. Some of us don't touch our Bibles until Sunday morning again when we pick it up to bring it to church. We have all these opportunities. And how amazing would it be to be said of you in the community that, wow, that person must really know Jesus. They must have been with Jesus. The second thing that we find in Scripture here is to the boldness that Peter and the others found is found in verses 1 through 4 in Acts chapter 2. It says that they were Spirit-filled, that the Holy Spirit came upon each and every one of them. Now, if you've read your Bible, you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have trusted in him for your eternal salvation, that same Holy Spirit resides in you to embolden you and to power you to speak about the name of Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, that it's not my persuasive speaking or wise words, but it's a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, speak in words not taught us by human wisdom, but by words taught by the Spirit. If you proclaim to be a Christian, then you have that same Spirit living inside of you. That should embolden you and empower you to, no matter the risk, no matter the consequences, speak out about this Jesus that you know, the peace speaker. And then finally, what we pick up from our passages in the Bible is that Peter realized that he was not ordinary. Peter realized that because Jesus was his Lord and Savior, there was something different about him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You are not ordinary people either. Again, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, you became one of his children, one of his people, set apart. Holy means set apart. Set apart to live life loudly for Christ. That is the very essence of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. It's the very essence of Jesus' last words before ascending into heaven. You will be my witnesses. And if you've ever been in court, you know that witnesses tell of something that they have seen or heard. They don't act it out. They don't let their life speak for them. They tell of something that they have seen and heard. See, because when we live life loudly, some amazing things begin to happen in the kingdom of God. If we go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Accepted his message, oral, spoken message, were baptized. Chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Chapter 4, verse 4, many who heard the message believed, so the number of men believed grew to about 5,000. Did you catch that? If you got your Bible open, underline that. It says, many who heard. I mean, somebody was telling them, somebody was speaking, somebody was living life loudly. Chapter 5, verse 14, more and more women believed and were added to their number. Chapter 6, verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, when it says here that the word spread, it wasn't because they were handing out tracts. It wasn't because they were handing out little Bibles, New Testament Bibles. It wasn't because some pastor on the internet or in a podcast was telling them about Jesus. It was faithful followers of Jesus living life loudly, speaking about what they had seen and heard regardless of the consequences that they faced. And when we live life loudly, others come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They get the assurance of life in heaven for an eternity when their days are earth on through. The same assurance that you currently hold yourselves if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. They have the same assurance that we have that he will walk with us daily through life, side by side. They get the joy of knowing that someone loves them so much. You heard Kyra talking about a young girl that just wants to be loved. And when we share Jesus with her, she knows that there was somebody who loved her so much that they were willing to die for her. Some of them never heard that story. That's how my wife came to be saved, because she heard that there was a heavenly father that was willing to die for her, having grown up in foster care, not knowing the love of a father. But somebody spoke that to her and shared. They get to know the forgiveness of their sins, that there is grace and that there is mercy in this world, that they don't always have to be, for example, homeless people, that they have a heavenly home waiting for them. They get to be joint heirs of Jesus Christ. They get to be sons and daughters of God, our Heavenly Father. And in coming to that, knowing that salvation and love of Jesus Christ, they get to become part of a family, our family. They get to become part of you and I, this assembly, the church, the assembly of believers. But that doesn't happen unless we're living life loudly. Let me share a quote with you from Martin Luther this morning to wrap this up. It says, if he has faith, here speaking of the follower of Jesus, if he has faith, the believer cannot be restrained. He betrays himself, he breaks out, he confesses and teaches the gospel to the people at the risk of life itself. Over the past 10 years or so, I think we've gotten a little restrained. I think we've lost some of our boldness. And we need to break out of that restraint. We need to become bold again. We need to, if we're going to make a difference in our community, it is imperative that we begin to live life loudly. Because let me tell you what, the world is speaking loudly. They're speaking through television, they're speaking through movies, they're speaking through the internet, they're speaking in magazines, books, whatever it might be. Some of the stories that I've read this week, they're speaking loudly. How many of you know who Kevin Sorbo is? He was the professor in God's Not Dead. He came out this week and said that if we as Christians don't begin to speak out, we'll continue to give the world away. He said that when people tell us to be quiet about believing in God, we need to be able to make sure that people who put down God or denigrate God, they're speaking their religion. Why do they get to speak their religion and not us? And so in grace and truth, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says that we need to be a little bit of salt. We need to live loudly, or else we might as well pack it up and go home now. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that, you know, in these days that we live, I'm so thankful for our young people and the sponsors who went down and heard people preaching the gospel of Jesus under a bridge. People preaching the gospel on the street using whatever they had, whether it's hip-hop music, their testimonies. But people were giving of themselves to go into these areas where people had been marginalized and pushed aside. Convicts who have great testimonies using hip-hop music to speak about Jesus, what they have seen and what they have heard in their life. And yet so many of us sit in the comfort of warm showers and plenty of food, a roof over our head, and we fail to live life loudly. We have let society restrain us and bind us from speaking out. Father, I pray that you would give us a boldness to speak the truth. Speak the truth, but yet speak it in love. Yes, Father, we understand that, but before we can speak it in love, we just have to be able to speak it. So I pray that you would give us a new thirst and a new hunger to share the gospel. I also pray that if there's anybody here this morning as we speak about this gospel of Jesus, that they would understand the message that we're sharing. That message is that each and every one of us is a sinner. And because of our sin, we have a broken relationship with God that results in not only physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God. There's nothing that we can do on our own. Scripture says that we have to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And God understood that that would never happen. So he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die, pay the penalty for those sins, that we would be forgiven. And if you're here this morning, if you never accepted Jesus' atoning work on the cross, if you've never acknowledged that on the behalf of your sins this morning, God wants nothing else but for you to say, I accept Jesus' death on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I will live for him because he died for me. If that's you this morning, if you've never done that, I pray that you would turn to somebody by you. Let them know that you've just made that decision. Or as we get ready to sing, Jesus paid it all because he did, that you would come forward and let us share more this morning and help you along that journey. Or even if it's to meet me in the library afterwards, I pray that you would be bold and courageous enough to do so. Father, we love you for the message of the gospel. We thank you that Jesus was willing to pay it all for our sins in his obedience to you. And I pray that in our obedience to you, that we will be the witnesses you've asked us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you would. Remember that Jesus paid it all. What he's asking us to pay, maybe a little bit of humiliation, a little bit of uncomfortableness, is nothing compared to the death on the cross.